Good evening, everyone. Thank you. I'll start with the opening statement. The Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional lands and waters of the Paramount and Kangana people. They are custodians of this ancient and beautiful land, and so we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. We will care for this country together by ensuring the decisions we make will be guided by the principle that we should never decrease our children's ability to live on this land. So, on to apologies. We have no apologies tonight, but we do have a request of a leave of absence, and we have some approved leave of absences. So, just to run through, Councillor Lucy Huckster, Councillor Louise Pascali, and Councillor Pauline Gill all have previously approved leave of absences. And we have a request from Mayor Jan Clare Wisdom. So, we'd like someone like to move this request. It's just for tonight's meeting. We've given a bill of Councillor March, you have to move. Thank you, and Councillor Boyd, second. Thank you. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Moving on to minutes of previous meetings. So we need to approve the minutes of the 9th of July meeting. Would someone like to move that we accept that? Thank you, Councillor Herman. Someone like to second? Councillor Daniel, thank you. And all those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. I haven't got any opening remarks tonight, so we'll skip that. Declaration of the conflict of interest. Councillor Herman.
I'll declare a general conflict of interest in my talk and two meetings pushed by a record three. And I am, if I'm in the mood of the CFS, I will not leave the room.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Shooter.
Yeah, I'll declare a material conflict of interest on 12th.
Anyone else? Councillor Lunch.
Look, I'd like to declare a material conflict of interest on item 12.2, the second decision I am planning on nominating for the position. So I will leave that part of the decision.
Thank you. Anyone else with a conflict of interest? Councillor Grant.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'll declare a probably perceived conflict of interest being a member of a CFS brigade for 12.2 again. Sorry.
As a general conflict of interest.
But I believe I can balance the matter and make a decision based on perhaps before us. And I'll also be nominated for that position, but I don't see a conflict of interest in doing so. Just there's no benefit to be obtained from the position or detriment to not get in the position.
Councillor Daniel?
Just a question to governance about that. So obviously with the conflicts of interest that have been announced that we would not have a quorum. Can you give some advice perhaps to those considering nominating about the type of conflict that they may have? Obviously, it's up to them to decide that.
Just before you give that advice, I'm also declaring a general conflict of interest at item 12.2. I intend to leave the chamber for decision one, but remain in the chamber for decision two. Ms. Gill, would you like to tell me about it?
So I think we've got only two people leaving the chamber so far. Three. Okay. So I think we'll be fine in that we can, if it's a general conflict of interest, which they've been declared, we can have somebody come back in to make quorum.
And the other question from Councillor Grant was around whether there is a material potential for someone nominating.
Yeah, I think for the nominating vote, decision two, whoever nominates will put in the material.
So my understanding is, sorry, going about this, but if we've got three people nominating, those three are removed.
Oh, there's three nominating.
Then sorry, we've not got Number five, we have to trust.
Who's the three?
Which is it?
I thought there was. Can we just have a show of hands of anyone who's considering nominating at this point? Okay, so we've got two potential nominees when we get to that. And my intention is to return to the chamber for that decision. Is it about a conflict of interest?
No, it's about how many people are vying for the position.
Let's get to that when we get to that. Any other conflict of interest? No? Okay, moving on. So, men, opening remarks. In fact, Mayor, I have no opening remarks this evening. We have no questions adjourned, and we have no questions lying on the table. On to item 8, we have no petitions this evening and no deputations, but we do have time for a public forum. If anyone would like to speak in the public forum, so would you like to speak at all tonight?
No, I'm right.
All good. Thank you. And I'm pretty sure the kids are not interested in the public forum. And we have no presentations tonight. So moving on to item 10, 10.1 Black Spot Funding question on motions from Councillor Cheetah. Anything further to add from the administration? No? All good. We'll take that as read. Moving on to item 11.1, Councillor Grant, this is yours, I believe. Would you like to move something in relation to that?
Yeah, thank you. Acting Mayor, I would like to move the motion, and I'll just alert people that I've added to what's been circulated the part highlighted in yellow, which is simply including considering staff time spent when addressing road closures. And shall I speak to the motion now? So, thank you. So this is, I guess, the issue of road closure fees arose during the budget discussion, and we touched on it at that point. And at that point, I got the feeling that the fees charged are fairly arbitrary. As road closures for commercial events such as rallies are a regular feature in the Adelaide Hills Council calendar, I think it's important for our role as elected members and serving ratepayers is to find an equitable way of determining all things relating to the rallies, and the fees being one of them. Because rallies are disruptive to affected people living on affected roads, I think it's important for us as a chamber to be vigilant to protect the interests of ratepayers and ensure that residents are properly informed and their views considered and respected. We've had issues in the past with residents not being informed of road closures or wrongly of dates and times or which parts of roads were closed, detour signs in the wrong places. And we had an incident of damage to roads that was not remedied, which we discussed a couple of meetings ago at Burton Road. And we had closures commencing before the authorised time and continuing after. So it's only, I think it's important, which is why I say it's important for us to scrutinise these things and listen to residents, because we're the main conduit for residents to voice their concerns. Now, I think the interests of fees or the charges for applications to ask for road closures should be commensurate to the amount of value to the applicant and the amount of inconvenience and cost to residents and businesses affected. And for that reason, I think that the fees probably much too low, but that's for this report to determine. But I think that the essential thing is it should be a fair and reasonable amount for a commercial operation to use the publicly owned and built and funded assets for their own private gain. And it's stated in the report that it's hard to determine the actual cost or create a value, and that's true. It will be hard to do, but I still think we should attempt it. And the arbitrary value at the moment, I think, could only be improved upon in order for us to make evidence-based decision-making. We've got to balance our budget, and providing a service such as road closures close to free, I think, is an anomaly. And Acting Mayor, I should say at this point, because I was remiss earlier, I was going to ask Mr. Lewis if he wanted to comment on the difficulty of preparing a report, if Mr. Lewis is still prepared to do so. Perhaps if I could frame that as a question, and that is, how onerous is this motion going to be to his office to perform?
Would you like to respond to that, sir?
Certainly. The report does present challenges to us. and certainly it will require some consideration about how we approach just writing the report. At the moment, we need to the report requires us to look at, say, the true commercial value of each individual event. And obviously we can't purely formulate that in terms of the events that have run in the past. We need to consider all events that could run in the future. So that would need to develop some first definitions around what commercial value is, how we calculate it, the information will be required. But then there's also a question of how we apply that information to the nature of a fee. Obviously, we're not, we don't know whether we're going to attempt to recover the full value of their commercial endeavor or a portion of it. That would be one of the considerations in the report. But we also need to consider the effort that will go into assessing that for any event that might occur. And we would need a formula to assess the time and effort the council put into that, which would then also need to be factored into the fee. Some of these elements, certainly around that commercial value, certainly sit outside the skills of staff. Therefore, we would need to assess who would resource to do those calculations. So that is that probably commercial elements is probably the most straightforward of it. But I'd suggest one is that the development of the framework to assess it is complex in itself. That would require external advice on how we do that for events. There are other elements which are probably less clear. There's reference to community. However, we don't know exactly what that community is. The degree of disruption will potentially affect a large number of people, but it will affect them very differently. And so that needs to be considered. Beyond that, to measure disruption, inconvenience, and loss, again, is probably more uncertain. So there's greater uncertainty, and developing a methodology for establishing that for any given event, whether that's based on likely through traffic on a road or the proximity to a population. We also note that the promotional notice only considers the costs and some negative impacts of the events. But there's a number of positive ones that tend to come out of them based on the conditions we apply or the nature of the events, which when we're talking about disruption and inconvenience, it would be difficult not to consider the positive outcomes as well, which are often created by the conditions we apply or the efforts of the organisers. So the steps that the organisers take are varied depending on the nature of the event and the nature of the organiser. So we will need to consider developing a structure which will consider those and the likely influences on them. So my suggestion is that whilst we can do it, we obviously can come back with a report. It's likely to be quite vague and thought more about approaches to a piece of work. And that in itself will increase the amount of work that's involved in applying this sort of approach to a fee structure in the future. Thank you.
Just before we get to your question, Councillor, I'm getting a question. I might just see if Councillor Grant would like to conclude his remarks, or whether you had anything else. You've got just over a minute left.
No, I think I've said all I need to say. Thank you, Acting Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Parkin, you have a question?
I've got a general question and then follow up to that. So my question is, the fees and charges register is a publicly available document, is that correct?
Ms. Wood?
Thank you, Your Worship. Yes, it is.
So my second question is, given that all councils would have fees and charges registers, which would also be public documents, how do our fees for roadshow closures compare to other councils, which also charge for road closures?
It's my recollection that's in the report, and that's detailed that the relevant councils is doing something like that.
That's correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, they're great. Yeah. Thank you. And all right, thanks. I'll put that in the manager.
Thank you. Councillor Daniels.
Yes, I do have a question. So in the report, it talked about there not being a cost, but then mentioning that external advice may be required, which would come at a cost. And Mr. Lewis has just articulated, I guess, some of the challenges around that. But it's not clear to me at the moment, if this was endorsed, which pathway are we going down? Are we going down a lighter sort of analysis, which is internal, with no additional costs? Or is it going to go down a path of developing a detailed framework which would require external advice? So it's not, if we endorse this, where are we going with it?
Mr. Lewis, would you like to respond?
Yeah, through your worship. It's a good observation, and we've spent some time thinking about the best approach. And initially, I think we were considering that we could come back with a lightweight report, which would assess an approach that could be taken. After going into this more detail, I actually think that we would probably bring back a counter report setting out our approach and the likely cost. But because we may potentially find consultants who can help us with this and assess the likely cost of it. So I would not envisage spending money on this without coming back to council to assess council's appetite for doing this.
Any other questions? No. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Norman, we'll get happy a second.
Goodbye.
Yep, and would you like to speak?
No.
Anything?
Would anyone like to speak to the matter? Councillor Daniel.
Yeah, I'll speak. So I guess the answer that was just provided provides me with a level of comfort with moving forward with this. I think it's always good to review how we do things. Whether we can do them better, whether things are set at the right level. So I'm quite comfortable with the administration going away and putting a little time into thinking about how that might be achieved. But then I would need to obviously rethink that if it comes back with a hefty price tag. But at this stage, I'm comfortable to support it in its current form.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I agree with Councillor Daniels' comments and observation. I too have a degree of comfort with the comments from Mr. Lewis about the nature of the report that he intends to bring back. I think that it is worthwhile having a look at the fee that we're charging and ultimately the cost-benefit analysis, the pros and cons. I'd be interested how much the state government charges corporations to close roads for major state events. The Adelaide 500 for one. I'd be interested in whether any fees are attached to the closure of roads to facilitate that event, and what those fees are. I support the call for a report.
Councillor Parkin.
Yeah, thank you. Actually, while I sympathise with the idea, and I do believe that we need to review these things regularly, I don't actually support this largely because if I have a look at other council districts near us, like Barker and Alexandrina. Councils that we risk losing things like the Tulian, the two and various rallies. They don't charge anything to close their roads. So Mount Barker doesn't close it, charge anything. Alexandrina doesn't charge anything. City of Onkaparinga charges 71 to 129, so far less, 10% of what we charge already. So already we are charging comparatively a lot to close our roads, and I'm not sure what a huge review would achieve other than maybe saying we should charge $2 more. I don't know. So I'm not really sure what we want is to do. And even if we did have an outcome which came back and said we should increase, then I can't imagine it would be by much. And we would still need to keep in mind that our competitor councils around us are charging nothing. So I can't support this on the basis that I'm not sure that an outcome would add value either way. Thank you.
Councillor Cheatham.
My last question first, is just, rereading the nuance of the Labor motions written. I see A, B, and C as not the only ways in which this report will reflect the fees that are recommended, but that they definitely need to be considerations. My understanding that they are not the limiting, but they are certainly inclusions for this report's consideration.
Let's see that question. Ms. Sullivan?
It doesn't specifically say they should include more than those three factors, but I think to be comprehensive, we would probably try to include more.
Speak to it now.
I
support the motion from the fact I think these are constantly moving and evolving things that need to be addressed and looked at. So I certainly understand that there is community sentiment around events of the negative impacts. And that's what this is looking to, I guess, address. If it's one way of addressing it, it's one lever, it's not the be all and all, but it's part of it. And with that clarification, we're looking at fees and charges and the appropriateness and adding some additional criteria, include existing criteria to where we've got to currently. So, I'd certainly like to see the flavour of those considered in there, although then some of the maybe methodologies may be vague on that. There may be other aspects of that fee structure which haven't been addressed that will uncover through that discovery. So I don't feel that it's limiting or that it's going to come back into particularly vague in the fees that we charge, but maybe some of the inclusions of those items A, B, and C might be. So I don't see any particular harm in it. I think it's an opportunity. Other opportunities in there, maybe. But I think this would fit the purpose for what it's looking to achieve.
Councillor Herman.
Yes. Thank you, Matt. My view, I did speak to Councillor Grant earlier in the day about this one. First comment was made, increased fees. The review might be a first. It might come back reducing the fee, so let's think of that for also. So we couldn't go anything, it's automatically going to go up. In the paper, I think it's a good idea to come back with a broad brush approach. This is the way to go, and the cost of this, will this be a way to go, and will cost you that. So the council can make a evidence-based decision. What's not clear in the other accounts is what does the fee cover and not cover? Is it the administrative time? Does they help out in kind help with the road closures and putting up all the parent safety and carrot and aid? So I hope that the report covers so we can get to compare apples with that. I have to say I'm very surprised at the offering of $129. That's actually amazing. But then they've got a budget of probably $150 million and they could tax it a little bit more than smaller gains. So how do they base their fees for road closure? What is their rationale for $139? They must have some basis for that, bearing in mind ours is more larger than that. So based on what I talked to Councillor Brown about this afternoon, I think it's good idea that he's put that quite a point in against the ground. I'd like that to see the start time that can be identified. So we can actually get a true model of what it takes for the council to support this.
Anyone else like to debate? Councillor Munch.
Thank you, Opening Minute. Look, I have some difficulties with this. And I think it might be to do with the way that the items A, B, and C are in written the motion. I'm not against a review of road closure fees as such, but it seems to be that items A, B, and C are written very much to take into account some things which are negative and not take into account positive things such as the general benefit to the community of the extra economic activity that a particular road closure might provide. And in the end, that's part of our policy for community events, I think, is that we actually make an assessment of that, and for road closures for rallies in particular, which this one seems to be targeted at, we actually approve them in the chamber as well. So we actually in the chamber make that decision about the economic benefit. And it also doesn't take into account the in-kind benefits that may occur. And also, I noticed it talks about amount of disruption, inconvenience, and loss of road closures caused for affected community, businesses, and the community. Now, if we're going to increase our fees because it causes disruption, inconvenience, and lost road closures, I'm sure the people who are being disrupted and inconvenienced and have, because their roads are closed, wouldn't want the council to get that extra money. They would actually want to get that money themselves, or they would want to get some extra sort of benefits and things like that. And I think the report itself talks about some of the things that that some of these rally organisations do, such as I think there was a case where they actually bought one day's worth of stock of cherries from a cherry orchardist who was affected by road closures on their locale. I guess item C, the true commercial value of such an exclusive use of public asset. There's a real difficulty in that because really, and you know, I give economics 101, the real commercial value is what the market will bear, basically. When you actually look at this comparison of council road closure fees, you actually see that we're actually, other than a city of Unley, for street parties, we're actually charging the highest fees already. So there could be a potential argument that we're actually charging too much. So look, I haven't made a decision on the way I'm going to vote on this one yet. So that's just some things to consider.
I think Councillor Ward might be the person to speak. No, I support the motion. Thank you. Councillor Brown, would you like to reply?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I thank Mr. Lewis for his report, which is extremely valuable, and I thank elected members for their comments. And this is a tricky one, but I do want us to have the discussion, and I think the points I've heard are all valid. Before I proceed, I just want to point out that the motion as written probably needs the word both removed, because there's actually 3 points below rather than 2. I don't know if that can just be done administratively or ask Mr.
Herman. You just do that with the variation. Yeah, great. We've got to leave the meeting
to do. I
only have 2 hands. Just
to
remove the word, but yeah.
Great, thank you. And if I may continue. There's some good points made. Councillor Mudge pointed out that this doesn't necessarily take into account benefits, but I think, I guess it's implied that inconvenience for effective business may not be an inconvenience at all. But I think we do have to serve the interests of people who do not benefit from this and want to get on with their ordinary lives. What the market will bear was a point Councillor Munch asked. I don't think you can compare road rallies with street parties in the city. I think they're very different things. I think the market will probably bear significantly higher fees. These operations have a turnover of millions. The fee for one applicant to Shannon's rally would be more than the fee that's paid for the road closure. So I think the market would bear it because we have an exclusive commodity that they require. So the fact that some of the fees, the street parties and that are small is irrelevant because they don't have road rallies and they probably don't in Mount Barker. But we charge fees for services such as development applications. We don't cut them to zero to try and get more development from Mount Barker. We charge what is right for the services provided. So I think this motion is a good one simply to proceed in order to get a report from the administration. We only need a Holden, we don't need a BMW for this. It's going to just give us a guide, and I think it's important, as Councillor Parkin said, we don't want an extremely extensive report here. I don't think it's necessary, but I think this will keep on the discussion, so I amend the motion to the Chamber.
Thank you. We'll move to the vote. All those in favour? And against? That's carried. Thank you. moving on to item 11.2, levels of service.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I appreciate the time that the Chamber's giving these motions. So we're currently in the middle of having a service delivery review, which has been driven by the CEO. And I think this is an extremely important process to ensure our services are appropriate, effective and efficient. Appropriate meeting the community's needs and wants. And we constantly have assessments of whether we're giving appropriate services. In the previous term, we had a discussion about whether we needed a fully fledged bookmobile. And at that point, we decided we did not. We went for a smaller one, which is more nimble, cheaper, and could service a lot more ratepayers. I think that was more appropriate. Effective libraries is a good example, I think, because we had some evidence-based decision-making. So we had that excellent review where library opening hours were adapted to, so Stirling got Mondays open, we cut some quiet times. It ended up delivering savings but providing a better service to the community. That's effective, and efficient is using our resources to the best result. So with service delivery, to my mind, once we meet legislative and other requirements, it's for us as a chamber to make decisions about what service levels we're providing and whether it's meeting the expectations of the community with the monies we have available. Are we just barely meeting service levels? Do we exceed them, and by how much? Are each of our directorates funded appropriately according to what is needed, efficient and effective? These are questions we have to consider all the time. We've had workshops in the past talking about what levels of service we should provide for assets such as roads and footpaths. Do we want 5 stars, 3 stars, or 1 star? And that's a decision, I think, for the Chamber to make with all information available, including community feedback, safety standards and everything else. But at the moment, we don't have a good rule of thumb to go by on what levels of service we're delivering throughout the organisation. How shabby are we prepared to accept roads to be? I think our standards are higher than DIT. And you can see that the arterial roads were allowed to run down more than we would allow before they renew them. And that's a choice. I'm glad that we've got a higher standard, but have we got the right standard? And who decides it? And I think it should be the Chamber. So I think what I'm hoping to do here is to tie this into the service review that's happening so that we'll have a rule of thumb by which we can say, identify areas that are being over-serviced, areas that are being neglected, and try and make the judgments to the best result for our ratepayers for their dollar. So I think this is an opportunity to push in that direction, allow us to scrutinise the service levels our community get, and let us not simply assume that everything is how it should be. So I commend this motion to the chamber.
Councillor Lunch, do you have a question or like to second?
I've got a question that I'd also like to second if I could. The question is to the administration, I guess. Was it planned to do something like this as part of the service review that is budgeted and I believe is going to occur?
Thank you for the question through the Mayor. This will help. We're developing the methodology as we speak, and we've been spending a fair bit of time on how we're going to approach the service review. As you'd appreciate, there's 240 services that we provide, so it's a lot of work. This particular motion I welcome it because it does provide a bit more direction and it will help us target out the service review and help with the methodology.
Would you like to speak? You would like to speak, Councillor
Lunch. Yes, thank you, Mayor. I strongly support this motion and thank Councillor Grant for bringing it to the chamber. It's certainly something that I've long thought we actually need to contribute to, and in fact, I actually think it's probably one of the top things that elected members can contribute to in terms of the whole asset management sort of area. Because there's obviously different expectations that people have, and there are different sorts of service levels that may have necessarily been applied in the past, which don't necessarily reflect the values of the people that are in the chamber at the moment. I guess I'm a strong believer in process, and I think the whole asset management process is actually quite a good one. But the thing that really is crucial is the levels of service that we actually think we apply in different areas. And I think probably the key thing that I would, I guess, put as my contribution to this is that I think there are different levels of service in different areas as well. For example, the people in Woodford and Ostrava have potentially been part of the sort of the fringe suburb of suburban Adelaide, potentially have higher expectations for level of service than someone who's in rural back of Charlton or something like that. And I think we need to make sure that the analysis that's done as part of this actually reflects that differentiation between the areas. People within town boundaries might expect certain, like sewerage or a swimmers connection or something like that. Whereas out back or beyond, where you've got a huge acreage, you shouldn't expect that. You might expect a footpath in somewhere like Woodford or Ross Trevor, whereas up in the Hills Townships, you might not expect a footpath except around a retirement village or a school or something like that. So I think it's really important that this review does actually reflect the diversity of the different communities we have across our council. Because there are different expectations in the communities, and I think it's really important that we don't push some of the communities that have traditionally not had huge amounts of service from the council, except for maybe rubbish collection, to expect footpaths down every street on both sides of the street or something like that. So I think it's really important to do that, and I'd really like to see some opportunities for elected members to contribute to that.
Councillor Parker.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I also would like to support this motion and thank you, thank Councillor Brown for bringing it, and also Councillor Mudge for his comments. And I'd like to draw attention to the housing workshop, the housing strategy workshop, which is really one of Development Strategy, I think, that is coming up, because some of the issues that you were talking about, the fact that our towns and suburbs look and feel different. And that's because we want them to look and feel different. And as a result of that, they may require different levels of service, actually rolls into that same thinking and that same potential engagement. So it's possible that some of the questions we might be seeking to answer here might also be the kinds of questions we're attempting to answer in that engagement and strategy as well. So, like many things that happen in council, some of the answers that we get from this may inform some of the answers that we're seeking in some other areas. So it could be that this could all be rolled in together somehow, but yeah, I support the motion. Thank you. Councillor Herman.
Yeah, I just had a question perhaps for you to see in the analysis there was important on how to determine the level of service will be provided by the end of September. It's only a couple of months away. Could you explain exactly what that, the Shepherdson interim report will cover?
Yeah. Through the acting, through the deputy mayor, thank you for the question. So as far as what we're looking at doing, it'd be a very high level report around some of the services that we're providing at the moment and the level, in particular around the asset management plan, and engaging the elected members whether they feel that that's appropriate, and there's clearly benefits and risks around what we'll be presenting. And therefore, there'll be a workshop of some sort in the near future within that time before we finalise that.
Thank you.
Would you like to speak, Councillor? No? Anyone else like to enter the debate? No, which I've got a right of the fire, Councillor. No, we'll put it to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously.
Onto administration reports, decision items. 12.1, review of burials outside cemetery policy and update. Would the administration like to add anything to this report? No? Thank you. Have we got any questions before we move on? Now you'd like to move it, Councillor Brown?
Yeah, move it as printed and everybody did.
Would you like to speak to the item?
No, I don't think so. The changes to the policy seem quite minor and essentially legislative. But it's an excellent policy. It was from the beginning. I think it was one of the first matters that came up when I got elected 5 or 8 years ago. Yeah, so now support the motion.
Thank you. Councillor Herman, so you next. Do you want to second the motion?
Yes, I'll second it, but I'd like to ask a question through you, the director. When I read the document, I did see no reference to the fact that Mr. Wallace has provided me with an extensive response, but I'd like, if you could, would you like to share that with the rest of the chamber? Regarding the rights or other of a de facto relation, which is not mentioned anywhere, clearly in the definition.
Deputy Mayor, Councillor Herman earlier asked me a question. Why is the term spouse defined? Well, sorry, the term spouse is defined in the policy, as you can read. It's defined as in this policy as a person to whom another person is legally married. And Councillor Herman asked, well, what about people in de facto type and other forms of relations? The answer to that is that our definition in our policy replicates the definition in the legislation with word. The reason that definition is there for spouse is that it appears, I guess, the subset of the definition above it, which is a relative of a deceased person and includes a spouse. It also includes a domestic partner, which I'm assuming is what you're referring to, this as de facto relationship. And a range of other things, so parent, grandparent, etc. And that is the definition that's pertinent to the policy. So it's covered, but you kind of have to read it backwards to get there.
Thank you. And I'll second the motion. don't wish to speak.
You don't wish to speak? Thank you. Would anyone like to debate the item? No, would you like to write a reply, Councillor Grant? Yeah. move to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, I have declared a general conflict of interest at this next item. My conflict is that my husband works in the bushfire recovery space, and therefore I will leave the chamber for decision one, but I will return to decision two. So I'll hand it over to the CEO to appoint the chair for decision one.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Can I forward for the nominee to chair the meeting? Yep. Councillor Barr? Any other? Yep, all good. Thank you. Can you leave the meeting, please?
Yep, that one.
Yes. Every chair. Every...
He wasn't in his seat.
Thank you, CEO.
Can you have some?
Yeah, Councillor Boyd. So what do we have? Our decision one. Does anyone want to put anything? Councillor Boyd.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, what do we have to ask for? Oh, conflicts. Okay. Yes, do we have a conflict of interest?
Yeah, I lead a material conflict of interest for 12.2 as I'm an elected officer of the CFS Brigade, so I'll leave the chamber for that decision later.
Oh, one
name.
Paul, is that for both?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other conflicts?
Councillor Herbert. Yeah, I had a different view. I am the... Yeah.
Yeah, could you wait a moment, Councillor Cheetah, because we're going to have difficult with a quorum. Councillor Herbert,
if you like, have a different view. I am actually an officer, president of the Bourbon CFS Brigade. I believe mine's a general conflict of interest. I believe that my position as the president of the Bourbon CFS and my duty there and my duty to the council. They can balance those and give an unbiased decision. So I will remain in chains of votes.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor Herman. I mean, there are a significant number of ratepayers or members of CFS brigades.
Yeah.
My concern is around the office of Park. When you're elected on your committee, it's administrative officer. And I'm just from the training we recently had, that was a quite specific one in relation to.
Well, Councillor Cheetah is in relation to, say, a community group which may be benefiting directly from a council grant, but still this.
It was a consideration of caution, but the intricacies haven't been noted out since our recent training and this evening.
Ms. Gill, could you please enlighten the chamber?
I think it's up to the individual to decide, but then how they get to next.
Sorry, that was a general.
Yeah, so if you have a general conflict, it's your decision.
Absolutely.
Yeah, whether you feel, I mean, you should declare the conflict, but whether you feel it's your decision.
Yes, I think I just went safe with material because of the uncertainty and the advice that I can get in time with the risk of that. So that's why it's good with material.
And, just another, Councillor Daniel?
Just a question of clarification. Councillor Cheetah alluded to removing himself from item decision two as well, which would mean what I alluded to earlier, we would not have a quorum. So he's not nominating. That's why I asked the question earlier. So are you in the room for decision two or out of the room?
The intention is to be out, okay. But were there not provisions?
We can call back in, remember, if we need.
Yeah, because she
she's got.
Yes, but so we have 9 elected members here this evening. Councillor Grant, Councillor Lunch intend on nominating, which means they will not be in the room, plus Councillor Cheetah brings us down to 6, which is not a quorum meeting. Councillor Selwood is in the room.
Okay, but he can come back in too if it's a general thing.
But he's not just declaring a material.
He's declaring
material. Yeah, that's what.
No, you're right.
But I suggest that this just can have a
be deferred
to the next council meeting. If it's not urgent, it does need to be dealt with.
So with leave of the meeting, this matter will be deferred to our next scheduled council meeting. And do I have to take it out?
No. To defer a matter, it needs to be a formal vote of the council to defer this.
Either way, there's a formal motion.
Correct.
Is anyone here prepared to put something? Councillor Batch.
To defer it to the next meeting.
So are you saying you want to put a formal motion?
Yes.
To defer this matter
to the next meeting. The next ordinary meeting, the council better be.
Anyway. Does anyone want to second that motion? Councillor Daniel, second. Sorry, thank you, Councillor Park, and your microphone's on, by the way. Does anyone want to speak to that?
It's a formal motion, you can't speak to it.
Please go away.
That's dear Councillor.
I'm going to
put this motion to the chamber, all those in favour. That's carried unanimously, my job is done.
That's the first time that's happened in
Okay, so we're moving on to item 12.3, the Gawler River Floodplain Plan Management Authority Membership Report. Councillor Herman.
I will declare it's a general conflict of interest, and I'm the council representative on the TRFMA, but I do not believe that's the president. Let's make some statements to change the voting with that.
Thank you. Thank you. Has anyone got any questions before we move into this item? No question? Okay, would someone like to move something? Councillor Osses.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I'll move the recommendations printed. At various times, the council has expressed views concerning this this entity, and I think this is an appropriate motion for the council to consider. I commend the recommendation to the chamber.
Councillor Lunch.
Thank you. I'm very happy to second this. Look, this is something that has always puzzled me a bit since the day I found out about our membership in this organisation. I remember asking council staff about this and they gave me the full history behind it. I think way back there was some debate about whether it should be a member or not, because it was something we inherited from the amalgamation from Gumeraka Council, but somewhere in the midst of time it was decided we should be on it. I think the report is pretty clear that there are no, I guess, benefits in terms of mitigating flood risk in our council area from this organisation. There are definitely costs about involvement in the organisation. As is also the point really made, is that that the council does not have any control or influence over the catchment, because most of the catchment in our council district is state government land, SA Water and Forest Reserve, and that a catchment flows into the South Para River, which then flows into the South Para Dam, and we have no control over whether SA Water releases water from that either. So this is one of those, you know, that thing, and our involvement doesn't seem to really make that much sense to me. So I'm very much in favour of us looking at removing ourselves from this. And I guess probably the big concern that I've always had about this is the time and effort and money that we're putting into this organisation potentially takes away from money and effort we could be putting into flood mitigation in our own council district. I can think there's a number of areas in our council district which are prone to flooding, some of which have been fixed, but I can think of a recent flood we had probably about 3 or 4 years ago, well, six actually, at the dam. On that little road that goes between the two roundabouts that was flooding there and the Meringa River. So there are flood risks that are actually within our council district, which we may be called upon to make a contribution to mitigation works for those, stormwater issues as well. And participating in this body, I think, takes away from that could lead us to be accused of being something which provides no benefit and not doing enough to benefit members of that. So I commend you.
Thank you. Would anyone like to speak to the item? No, Councillor Austin, stop you like a rather big line.
No, thank you.
Thank you. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So moving on to item 12.4, the Gawler River Floodplain Management Authority Draft 2425 Annual Business Plan Options Report. The administration have some recommended changes to their recommendation, and they are highlighted there in the preamble. So we'll give everyone a moment to have a look at those.
Well, in looking, I'll declare a general conflict of interest because of the reasons I've provided earlier, but I'll and will remain in the chat.
Thank you, Councillor Herman. So I'll just give everyone a quick moment to have a look at those changes. So they are all there. Ms. Gill, was there anything you wanted to add to those recommended changes? No. Thank you. Would anyone like to move something?
It's just a question.
Yep.
Sorry, I was just wondering whether or not because our contribution of $50,000 is going into their annual budget, which they've published, does that mean that we are then committed to make that particular payment? Yes. So it's a $50,000 decision they're making. Right
now. So the decision to continue with the annual budget would include the approximate $50,000. If we approve the budget, we would then be required to pay that as part of our contribution. Yes. But this is a recommendation, so it's up to the chamber whether they decide to move this or something else. Councillor Mudge,
you want to move something? I was going to ask a question in relation to that. Is this amount in our budget just recently approved or not?
Mr. Lewis, would you like to answer that one?
There is an allowance fee in the budget. I can't say exactly what the value is. I believe the CSPs fees are higher, so I need to check the individual line to see what the exact figure is. But there is an allowance for the fee.
Yeah, I'm not sure if my recollection is correct, but I think we had an inkling that it would be this amount before we approved that budget. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Last year's contribution about 25. That's what made CPI on that. That's what's in the budget. Any other above that is coming out of our very modest surplus that we approved. And it is shrieking. But may I speak?
Is it the question? Or,
no,
nobody has moved anything yet. So we'll need someone to move something. Councillor Lynch.
Yeah, look, I'd like to move it.
Thank you. Would you like to speak to the item?
Yeah, look, I support this approach. While we are in dispute, and I've sort of spoken on the previous motion about how I will see our point in being it, I do accept the administration's advice that for efficiency and resourcing reasons, and to make sure that this organisation, which actually does have a very important role for the people on the Gawler River floodplain, in helping them to mitigate flooding, which is a really important thing. Now, how that's funded and supported is another issue. I think it's really important that, and also for, I guess, the goodwill as well, if we are going to move down the process of withdrawing from the organisation, I think it's important that we sort of have some goodwill in that negotiation so that it can go along smoothly with the organisation, and we can say that while we believe we don't think we should be in this organisation and we want to move away from being in it, for the purposes of football, we've got this commitment for one year, we're going to make it, and hopefully by this time next year or by the budget process next year, the whole thing will have been resolved. So for that purpose, I'm going to give it as mentioned.
Councillor Boyd.
Yeah, I've just got a question.
Mm.
Considering this is double the amount that we paid previously, how much time do we have to make a decision on this?
Ms. Gill? Really definitely. This is an urgent decision because we're now in dispute. And so we have to act with goodwill in a kind of fair and I guess quick way.
Several questions. Are we able to offer them the 25 rather than 50?
No, that's not something that they're open to. Yeah, would you like to clarify the little theory?
Yeah. Yeah, through the Deputy Mayor, we did try to negotiate part of the budget, yes, approved, not a special project, which is an additional 25 to develop the business case around not the uplift of that, but we went very quickly into dispute. Therefore, this is a strategic approach to, yes, work with them, but we made it very, very clear that we are looking at exiting the
authority. One last question. Is this staff's recommendation?
Yes, I believe it
is.
Yeah. Councillor
Murray,
do you have a question or are you
the question and speak as well? Just if I may respond to the charter of the GFRMA requires it to have its budget approved by the constituent council and itself by the 30th of September. If that doesn't happen, it's without supply and effect and you can't function. The reasons for the increase, one of the reasons for the increase, is the additional cost associated with the stormwater management plan, the business case for that. That will be completed with some amount of money. This is then, and that document is completed, and the strategy from that adopted to prevent the flooding, the real cost will start to hit. They are big numbers, perhaps the bulbs are here, but they are very big numbers. And even though at the current rate, we have to contribute 16.66% because it's an operational cost. The number is big. So we really need to have the position of the council on the GFRMA clarified in the next 12 months. But in the interim, the GFRMA needs money to continue its operation.
Councillor Daniel?
That's all right. So is Councillor Herman seconding it? Just a bit of
clarity. Yes.
So I guess I'm supporting the motion, not so much from what Councillor Munger is talking about with respect to goodwill, because I feel we've shown the authority goodwill for many, many years by contributing when I guess ultimately it's not affecting our residents, but we've been playing our part for a long time. I guess given we've gone down that road of dispute and they're not willing to actually engage with us in considering our views, for me, that's disappointing, particularly when they know how removed we are from the effects of the big projects and what they're working towards in terms of the potential benefit. And I guess the core reason that I'm supporting it with that in mind is around the financial implications of not approving it and the costs that would be associated going down that dispute path, and then ultimately we don't have to pay it anyway. So we end up more out of pocket when the previous motion is already setting us in train for potentially leaving that authority should there be merit in doing so. And I guess that's why I'm ultimately supporting this motion.
Councillor Osterstoff.
Through you, have we potentially leaving the authority, has the council sought some independent legal advice as to our position, as to whether it is possible to extract ourselves from this authority?
We have, but if you want to answer some questions about that, we might go into conference.
Not necessary. Thank you.
Would you like to speak, Gavin?
No, I agree with the motion and the report.
Would anyone else like to debate? No. Would you like a vote of reply, Councillor Lunch?
Thank you, and thank you, Mayor. I thank Councillor Daniel for reminding me of the other reason why I supported this, which I've got to mention, which was the whole point of, you know, if we do go into the speed on this business plan, you may end up having a fake as well. And when you have mediation, goodwill is really important. And while I agree, we have given them lots of goodwill over the years by remaining in this and not questioning it up until now, the goodwill really is a negotiating thing, basically. So we could end up having to pay this money anyway. And we would have to pay more because we pay legal things, things like that as well as part of the negotiation. So, I support the motion.
Thank you. So we'll move to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So moving on to item 12.5, the Community Renewables Program. Does anyone have any questions before we move on? No, Councillor Daniel, would you like to move something?
Yeah, just the recommendation with the additional wording that I sent through early this afternoon.
Sure, just give us a skip. We'll get those in. And would you like to speak?
Yeah, I'll speak to it. So it's not fundamentally changing the motion in any way. We've obviously received a report that's updating us around the potential of establishing this community renewables program and also the development of the virtual power plant. I guess I just wanted to write it into the motion that when this report comes back, that we are going to have options which have us move forward with a particular path on this item. I'm really keen to, I guess, be making that final decision where we look at what we're going to implement and why. And point C of what I've additionally included is looking at a cost benefit analysis. I do anticipate the administration probably would have done all of this anyway, but I want it in writing to know that, okay, on that date, we're going to be making a decision to actually proceed with something in this space because I think it's really important we do that in a timely manner.
Councillor Parkin.
Thank you. I would like to second the motion and reserve the right to speak. I'd like to get down to the federal.
Thank you. Would anyone like to debate the item? Councillor Graham.
Yeah, thank you, Deputy Mayor. It's not really going to be much of a debate, but I support the motion. I think we're going in the right direction here. Certainly, Mitcham Council's $87,000 due diligence one-off is money well spent for something like this. If we end up with something similar with community bulk buyers, it would be considerable benefit to our community. That Mitcham Council, by their account and the presentation we received, receiving significant savings and significant reductions in carbon emissions, which is part of it, and the payback of the community must be 100-fold on the investment. But I just wanted to remind the members who were here in the previous term, it was the middle of the year 2019 when we had a community energy scheme presented to us. It was at Woodside, it was the middle of winter, and it came from Resilient Hills and Coasts. And that scheme that was presented to us wanted a contribution from six councils of $108,000 each, in total $450,000. And it was relying on somehow obtaining grants of another $950,000 to get it up and running. And all it amounted to was a massive bulk buy of electricity. There's nothing to do with climate change, amelioration or adaptation. There was no community solar panels or batteries. And I just want to say how frustrated I am that that put us back 5 years and significant amounts of money that we could have been made in savings for this council and the community. And it really makes me wonder whether Resilient Hills and Coasts is an organisation we should participate in, because that cost us dearly, that disastrous report and hopeless representation of community energy scheme, when what we have here, I think, is heading, is tried and tested, is heading in the right direction. So I'm very supportive of this motion, and I'm just disappointed we've lost 5 years when time is really in short supply with these sorts of issues. But I commend the motion.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak to the item? Councillor Munch.
I've got a question first. The question is whether, as part of the process of developing a sort of further report on community renewable program tailored to the Adelaide Hills Council and community, whether that will include some some sort of procurement slash legal advice on whether we can actually piggyback on the work of Mitchell Council in approaching market, because I noticed that some of the other councils have done that. It's in the report. And then Charleston, Campbelltown, City of London, and City of Marin have endorsed replicating this program, whereas others have sort of gone the other way and said, no, we have to go out to the tender again, which can be quite costly and time consuming as well.
Would you like to
say
the questions, Dan?
Yes, and thank you. And through the Deputy Mayor, yes, we will. There will be a decision from Council if there is a cost implication of some sort. It's legal advice. We'll come back to Council to get that approval for that amount. At this moment, we're not there yet, so we need to do a bit more work.
Do you have another question, Councillor Munch?
I just wanted to contribute to
that.
Yeah. Look, I wholeheartedly support this motion. I thank Councillor Brown for all the warnings about the previous scheme, because I do have memory of that previous scheme. I couldn't remember all the details of it. It's time to look it up. But this is definitely a much more effective scheme. Yeah. And the only thing I'm doing is kicking myself. I didn't sort of push it further. I actually made some inquiries with Mitchell Council last year about this scheme, because it always sounded like a good scheme. And he spoke to one of the elected members there, who was a new elected member, and was trying to get some of his information. So it sounds like a very good scheme, and something we should be really seriously considering jumping on board with, something very similar, tailored, of course, to our community, and something that's fit for purpose, something that is done with the least amount of duplication of due process as possible, so that we can piggyback on what Mitchell has done, and actually say, well, you know, they've done the due process, and we can use that, then we can move forward really quickly. Thanks.
Anyone else like to speak on questions? Councillor Parker, do you want to speak?
No, I've seconded.
Oh,
but you reserved
the right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I think I'm good.
Thank you.
Councillor Daniel, would you like to reply?
In short, I do recall that workshop, Councillor Grant. It was a very frustrating workshop, particularly when I now read that it was less than 2 years later that Mitchum were progressing this initiative. The only other point I wanted to make is when Councillor Mudge asked the question about whether we can use replicate the Shine Hub. Now, my understanding is we can, and there is no legal reason we can't do that. It's more just, is that the best pathway for us? And those other councils are looking at alternative going out to market again, I guess, have considered that there may be a better deal. Or I was fairly well convinced by the presentation by Mitchum, but I would like to see this report provide those variety of options, and then we make an informed decision on what's best for our community.
Thank you. We'll move to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. So moving on to item 13, information items. 13.1, updating arrangements for building fire safety committee membership. Just that we receive a note report. Would someone like to move that? Councillor Osterstock? Would you like to speak to the item? Councillor Parker, are you seconding? Thank you. Would you like to speak? Anyone else like to speak? No, we'll move to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Correspondence for information. Councillor Ball,
I remember that.
You'd like to move 14.1 as printed? Thank you. Would you like to speak?
No, it's fine.
No. Councillor Daniel, you have your second?
Yes.
Would you like to speak?
Yeah, I just think it's great. Can't wait. And I'll be looking forward to this change for a while.
Excellent. Anyone else like to speak? No. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. 14.2, correspondence from the Department of Infrastructure, Transport, Regional Development, Communications and the Arts regarding the Enhanced Electromagnetic Energy Program. Would someone like to move that?
Put my tin hat off.
Councillor Tierney, you're happy to move as printed?
Yes.
Would you like to speak? No. Councillor Daniel, you're seconding? Thank you. You have to speak? Great. Councillor Herman, you'd like to...
I think the document says that looking for us to communicate with the community. Is that our role, or are we coming to do anything? Put it in our bucket courier or website? It's not our responsibility.
Through the Deputy Mayor, I've got to take that notice and get some clarification. Thank you.
Might be best that we don't.
Anyone like to speak to the item? No. Move to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to item 14.3, correspondence from the Australia Day Council regarding public service medal nominations. Would anyone like to move that we receive and note that correspondence? Councillor Grant, have your move as printed?
Yeah.
Don't want to speak?
Yeah.
Anyone like to second? Councillor Cheetah, you want to speak? Nope. Anyone like to speak to the item? No. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Did anyone have a question without notice? No, but we'll move on to motions without notice. Councillor Parkin.
Yes, through you, Mayor. I'd like to move a motion without notice a workshop be held fairly immediately on the approval of leave of absences for council elected members. Particularly at the moment.
No, just before you speak to it, do you want to just get the wording of what you're proposing?
Yes, that a workshop be held shortly on just to develop a framework for basically a reference framework for council members to approve leave of absences. Just a guide, really, rather than anything.
So far we've got that a workshop in order to develop a reference framework for council members to approve leave of absences?
Yes, of other elected members. Of elected members, yeah. And I'd like to speak to that if I might.
Yes. Accept this verb to have permission. Without notice. Yeah, so I'm happy to accept that as a motion without notice, given we do have a number of leave of absence at the moment.
Yeah, and that's what's prompted the motion without notice. So today we approved a motion without notice for a leave of absence of one day which I assume is because of illness, which is fair enough, but usually that would be an apology. And so we also have a number of leaves of absences, which is also fine, but it places great pressure on the rest of us and means that we can't necessarily take leaves of absence when we want to. And it means, for example, if we're ill, we might have to drag ourselves here. So this, I feel there needs to be a bit of a framework around, you know, when and why we approve a leave of absences, a leave of absence. So we might like to look at how many leaves of absence a particular elected member has had, which might not mean that we might not approve, but it just means that we can potentially avoid situations like we've had tonight, where we've actually had to defer a motion because we don't have a quorum. So we might need to think about when we approve the leave of absence, just have a bit of a look at who else is not going to be there. And so maybe we might have to say, look, I'm sorry, we can't approve that leave of absence because we have too many other people on leave, very much like you would if you were managing a team at work. But I'm really sorry, you can't go on leave. There'll be nobody here to do your job. So I think that's something we haven't had to take into consideration in the past. And I think we might need to take into consideration. So I would just like to move that we workshop that and just see if we can come up with a framework for maybe even having that discussion and trying to see if we can balance it in some way so we don't get a repeat of something like we had tonight. Thank you.
Just before we see a second there, can I ask a clarification of governance? Councillor Parker just talked about not having a quorum when there's a certain number of leave of absences. If there's leave of absences, do they still count as the quorum?
No.
Thank you. I just wanted to clear that up before we sort the second up. Would somebody like to...
Sorry, can I just clarify the question?
Yes. So when there's, say, four leave of absences, which remain, which means there's eight council members remaining, do you then need half plus one of the eight?
No.
Thank you.
Sarah.
Yeah. Thank you. Councillor Daniel.
I've got two questions for the administration. I guess one, can I get their view on how they would be looking at addressing this? I assume in the Code of Practice meeting procedures, where we currently have some structure around leave of absences currently under 3.5, and I guess that leads me, I guess it's one big question. When are we due to review that document? Like, is that just around the corner anyway, so we can feed into that process?
Sounds good. Would you like to have done? Just check it.
It is due for review. So it could be incorporated into that review.
Was that all your questions, Councillor Daniel?
You do a variation?
I guess with that in mind, whether the mover would consider just revising the wording to, reviewing the approval of leave of absences in conjunction with the review of code practice meeting procedures. So it's highlighting that we want to focus on that, but doing it as part of that bigger process.
No, that makes sense. I would accept that change.
And you have a second of that change, Councillor Daniel?
Yes, although it's not clear the wording at this point.
I just suggest an edit.
Practice.
Perhaps I will propose some wording.
Yeah, that would be fine.
So, as part of the review of the Code of Practice for Meeting Procedures, so that would be the start. So, can you just do it on
the very start?
So, that as part of the review of the Code of Practice for Meeting Procedures. The approval process for leave of absences of elected members be a focus for the workshop.
Yeah, be happy with that. Thank you.
So it's just being part of that process, but highlighting that we want to focus on that aspect of it.
I'll just check the wording. You're happy with that as the wording?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. If everyone believes that that's the fairest and best way to proceed, I'm really happy with that. I just feel we need to have a way of thinking it through before we go, oh, yes, you can have a leave of absence, yes, you can have a leave of absence, yes. And then suddenly it's like, well, everybody else has to come because, you know, otherwise we can't go on. So we really need to sort of think about that a little bit more and make sure that we're aware of that before we approve it.
And just about that for everybody. There's not an opportunity for a second debate. It's just...
Oh, no, I'm still moving the motion.
No, you had...
Oh, I've already moved the comment.
Okay. This is now Councillor Daniel, then moving the motion.
Oh,
okay. Just seeking leave to change the wording to that second paragraph.
All right, my apologies.
You're happy with that?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Councillor Daniel, would you like to speak?
So my understanding, just to clarify, the motion itself is only that second one.
Yeah.
We just delete the first one. Or, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll reserve my right if I explain the rationale already.
Thank you. Councillor Hearn.
Just a question. I probably should know the answer. Should council not approve leave of absence? As tonight, if we hadn't approved a leave of absence,
you didn't my fault. Turn the ball back.
Just stay close to me.
Yeah.
If we hadn't approved the leave of absence, what's the outcome of that? Not approved. Doesn't last any further. Anyway, just a
rhetorical question.
Should be discussed at
the
workshop. Exactly.
I'll take that as a contribution, Councillor Hammond. Councillor Munch, did you want to speak?
Yes. Thank you to Councillor Parker for bringing this motion because it's definitely something that's concerned me over the last few months. This is quite different to the previous term. We didn't have this level of absenteeism that we have this term for whatever reason. And as Councillor Parker said, it does put pressure on others who have very genuine reasons why they can't be here. Councillor had some issues a couple of months ago. When she had a family emergency and needed to go home, but we would have lost quorum if she walked out of the chamber and ended up staying. So it was a difficult thing to do. I do have concern. And I'm also, I guess, a little bit concerned because I, like some other people here, look at other councils, and I do see sometimes leave of absence denials made on the basis of political decisions, like as in, I don't like that person, what they're doing, so therefore the chamber banks up on someone. And if we have some more guidance in our code of practice for meeting procedures for sort of valid criteria for doing it, doesn't stop the possibility of it happening, but it does sort of put some borders on it and establish some precedents as well. So I do have some suspicions that some of the, I won't say anything, but I support the motion.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Hello.
Yeah, thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think this is an excellent motion without notice. What we do in the chamber is an important job to be taken seriously. There are members here who are extremely regular performers and others not so much. I think a workshop very soon would be extremely valuable. I think we do need to consider this matter seriously and make our decisions on leave of absence based on evidence and serious consideration, as we should with all matters we vote on. I think when we make a decision on a leave of absence, we're entitled to hear reasons. They don't have to be detailed. We probably should know how many leaves of absences have been taken in the previous 12 months before one is applied for. And I think we should expect a notice of a leave of absence application, as with anything else. Of course, elected members have genuine reasons for leaves of absence. We all do. That's legitimate. It's perfectly acceptable. But I don't think we should necessarily waive through leaves of absences without serious consideration, because it's a privilege that could be abused. So yeah, I look forward to the discussion and I support the motion.
Just a question from the chair for the administration. Does it need a date for some guidance to the administration, or do you think that we can accommodate the workshop in the near future?
And through you, Deputy Mayor, and it's a good question because Councillor Parker talked about shortly, but what we'll do is look at bringing it to a workshop as soon as possible.
I think I'll give that enough assurance. Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to Councillor Fanning?
Thank you. Some important points to be made. I guess from my perspective, I think it is really helpful for us to have clear guidance on how we make decisions. And when I reflect on ultimately why we're here in this chamber, it is to make those final decisions for the administration to implement for our community. So I think it's really important that we are here when we can be, and there are always going to be valid reasons as to why we can't be. It's just how we manage the process of approving that. And it is important because Councillor Hammond said, well, we don't approve it, so what? But if you miss three meetings in a row, you can be removed. And the reason for that, I assume, from the government is to have a level of commitment and accountability to the role. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have leave of absences. They're really important. We all have other priorities that we may need to adhere to at various times, but having a clear process on how we approve that as part of the meeting procedures and whether we, as an elected body, feel there need to be some changes made for the benefit of this chamber, I think would be a helpful and healthy discussion.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Councillor Parker, would you like to respond?
I think I did before accidentally. And for that reason, I really don't think that there's much more for me to add. I commend the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll move to the vote. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. I'm assuming there's no other motion for that one. Moving on then.
No, I believe that.
To reports. So we've had some reports submitted. I'd just like to remind everyone that it's really great if you've been in the past of the meeting. Does anyone have anything they wish to add? No, thank you. We'll move on to 17.2. There's no reports of members on the council representatives by external organisations. CEO report.
Thank you. Just very quickly, I have been focusing on the operations of the council over the last couple of weeks, specifically around strategic risk management, our financials, and also the service review charter and methodology. I urge elected members, if they could make themselves available on the 30th, next Tuesday, it is out of sync with our ordinary workshops, but I do want to hold a confidential discussion with elected members around the finances and budget of this council. So I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. So moving on to reports of committees, 18, question from Catherine.
Yeah, not about that particular point. I just wondered who did elected members contact as the acting manager of open space? We have a contact?
Through the deputy mayor, Mr. Waters.
Mr. Waters, thank you.
Thank you. So, reports of committees. So, the first one we have is the council assessment panel from the 10th of July. Would someone like to move something? Councillor Mudge, like to move this printed? Would you like to speak? No? Anyone like to second? Would you like to speak? No? Anyone should speak the item? We'll move to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. We don't have any minutes from the audit committee, but we do have some audit committee recommendations from the 15th of April. Councillor Herman, would you like to move something?
Thank you, Mayor. The report before you. It's rather extensive, but I can pick out some salient points. I will move the recommendation as printed. And speaking to that, first of all, the 2A, the external audit plan, which is an appendix one, quite an extensive document. We discussed it at length in April, and the senior officers of the BDO were present at that meeting, including the lead partner, so it's really fairly high level. The principles of audit, they don't change a lot this year, though, particularly with the risk management of infrastructure, properties and plant and equipment, and it's particularly relevant to our asset management plan. Grant funding, how that's treated, and would you believe rehabilitation liabilities could be in regard to things like accident. Internal control will be a focus again, particularly with fraud and laws and regulatory frameworks which under which council operates. Timetable provides for the audit completion report to be submitted to council by the 7th of October, and the final statements of the audit to the audit can be filed on the 1st of October. That allows a process for council to adopt the statements and annual report to be submitted to the government by the end of November. Flag in that report is the auditing of climate change report. The new concept, we won't have to comply with that reporting process, although mandatory we'll have to do it by 2027, but we may choose to do it before that is better to say it right away. How that will operate is, it's the auditing of climate change reporting. So, there will be an end to climate after 2027 for small organisations, which is pounds of the state basket. But there's a lot of preparatory work to be done by the administration to make sure that adequate records are kept, so that when reports are required, it could be information for the delay. The letter of engagement, send a letter of engagement, which be nearly $33,000, which is, in my view, I reckon it's good value. And point C, the quarterly reviews, that has already been considered by the council. I guess in the normal course of events, these recommendations will be under council fairly closely to the last audit committee meeting that didn't occur. So I recommend the motions.
Someone likes to say things. Motion. Councillor Daniel, would you like to speak? No, anyone like to speak to the items? I will move to the vote. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. We have nothing from the CEO of Commons Review Panel this week or the Boundary Change Committee. So moving on to confidential items, so we'll need to move into confidence. Councillor Grant, you have to move that we go
as printed.
Yeah,
the confidence.
Would someone like to second? Councillor Parkin? All those in favour? Carried unanimously. We'll just wait a moment.